नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
For one who always remembers me without deviation, I am easy to attain, O Sannapritha, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. Here, Krishna uses the word satatam, always. Again he says nityashaha. Nityashaha also means the same thing. Regularly. It is give more stress, nityashaha. Again he says, tatyaham sarvapartha nitya yuktastha yogina. So three times Krishna gives stress on this point, satatam, nityashaha, nitya yukta. Here the most important word is the ananya chetaha. Ananya cheta, the word ananya is used in Bhagavad Gita in many verses. If you want, you can note down the numbers. 8.15, 8.22, 9.22, 11.54, 12.6. So later on you can go through these verses, you'll find the word ananya. Ananya means ananya. Not getting distracted to anything else, but to be focused on Krishna. Before we talk of ananya bhakti platform, we can go from the stage of a neophyte. For anyone living in this material world, the senses are considered impure. Why? Because of engagement in sense gratification. So they are called as kadindriya. In Bhagavatam the word is used kadindriya. Kadindriya means impure senses. These words are used by Dayati when he is talking to Devyani. He is telling her, evam varsha sahasrani mana shashtair mana sukam vidudanupi natatyat sarvabhoma kadindriya. He uses the word kadindriya, impure senses. Why? Because the senses are always engaged in impure activities of the material world. The eyes, the nose, the tongue, the ears and the skin. And such senses rarely think of the Lord. The biggest problem in the material world is that for every one of the senses there are unlimited sense objects to enjoy. Just like if you keep a rasagulla on a table, there is no problem. But if you keep the same rasagulla on the tongue, there is problem. Why? Because once you consume one, then the tongue wants one more. But if you keep on the table, there is no problem. Similarly, if senses are separately there is no problem. If the sense objects are also separately there is no problem. But material world is a combination of two. There are senses, there are also sense objects. So, that is the greatest predicament. Because of that, everyone's senses are constantly absorbed in sense gratification. Not just once in a while, but for millions of lifetimes. Because of which, one's senses become completely impure. Even Devahuti, when she was praying to her son, who was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kapila, she prayed also about her senses. She said, asad indriya tarshanat. She said, asad indriya tarshanat. Tasat vam tamasam dasa. Not that before, that one was Nirvinna Nitaram Bhuman Asat Indriya Tarshanat. Asat Indriya Tarshanat means the senses which are always disturbing us, and the superficial senses that cover the actual senses. Actually we all have spiritual senses which are always supposed to be engaged in Krishna service, but covering them is this body which has got superficial senses, which are always engaged in impure activities of the world. Because of such impure activities, the soul terribly suffers in this world. As Narasimha Das Thakur sings in a song, Samsara Vishanale Divanishiya Jwale Judaite Na Koinu Upaay. So one is burning the blazing fire of this material world. There is a verse in Kapila's section also, very nice verse. That didn't come to my mind now. There's a nice verse where he says that one is suffering in this blazing fire of material world because of engaging in sense gratification. All the senses are actually, to the degree one is engaged in sense gratification, that much one is actually burning in the fire of material world. So one can realize that as one advances in spiritual life, one can see how the senses are always pulling one's consciousness down and engaging one forcibly, like a slave engaged in the service of the master. Like that the senses engage one. Slave means one who has no freedom. One who is given dictation by the master and he has to act. So the senses give dictation to the body like that. And everyone is rushing here and there for sense gratification. So such impure senses are there with us. So how are we going to see Krishna? How are we going to achieve Krishna? Is the question. So it is said, one cannot perceive Krishna with such gross senses which are impure. But if the very same senses are engaged in bhakti yoga, then bhakti yoga acts very powerfully. But these impure senses can be transformed into pure senses. And when one gets pure senses, one can directly contact Lord Krishna with those pure senses. Like the eyes can be purified, ears can be purified, tongue, skin, everything can be purified. That is actually the cause of bhakti yoga. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevana, bhakti rishikena. And one can see the great change by the practice of devotional service. So, the eyes which we have now, these are blunt, gross eyes. We are not able to see Krishna. But the very same eyes, by engaging in devotional service, will come to a stage where it will become Premanjana Charita. Or we say, Om Ajnana Pinirandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya. So great the spiritual master, that I was born blind, but you gave me the eyes to see things in their real state, like that. So one can come to that state. So that can be achieved by the process of bhakti yoga. In the material world also, all of us are engaged in some kind of work. We are doing some service to some master. But is it out of love? No, there is no question of love. We just render some service to some master because we get a salary from the master. And the master also, he doesn't behave with us nicely, he doesn't deal with us nicely because we are rendering service to him. Actually, he wants service from us, that's why he pays salary. Otherwise, will he give salary? He won't. So the relationship is very superficial of master and servant in this world. Whereas the process of bhakti is a purely voluntary process and a process that is situated on the platform of love. As soon as we say love, it has to be two-sided, it's not one-sided. Love between master and the servant, and in between there is no motive. The motive is pure motive. What is the pure motive? A sense of sacrifice. That is the meaning of love. So in the perfectional stage of love, one wants to render service to Krishna, and one wants to render service unlimitedly, without seeking any remuneration, any reward in return. And the gopis, when they were praying to Krishna in the Gopi Gita, they said, Sharadudashaye sadhujatasa sarati jodara shrimushadrisha suratanatate shukadasika varadanignato nehakyam vadaha. So they prayed to Krishna, they said, Suratanadate, O Lord of the Cupids, Ashalka Dasika, we are not your paid servants. they said. Don't think we are serving you because we are paid some remuneration. Ashulka dasika, they said. Shulka means some remuneration. So we are not taking any payment, but we don't know, we are completely attracted in a compact of love towards you. And we have given up our family, our friends, our society, friendship, love, and all property, everything of this world, simply to love you and serve you. So this is the stage of perfect love of a devotee, which does not seek any reward in return, which is unmotivated and uninterrupted. That is actually the stage of love of a devotee. So this is called as spontaneous attachment to Krishna. But before one achieves that stage, generally nobody is in that stage very easily. For all the living beings, it takes some kind of practice to achieve that platform of love. Originally, every living being has love for Krishna that is dormant in his or her heart. It is there with everyone, but it is covered over. But it can be revived for a period of time by devotional service. Just like walking of a child. A child doesn't walk. If you have seen a child, how he stands up on the ground and begins to walk, how he stumbles in the beginning, as if, you know, he cannot walk ever. But in future, how one begins walking, like all of us are walking. So the walking ability is potentially present in a baby, a newly born baby. And then he gradually walks. Similarly, loving Krishna is potentially there in every one of us. Loving Krishna spontaneously with great attachment is there in every one of us. It has to be just revived. So, how it can be achieved? Krishna says in the 12th chapter that he gives two divisions. One for those who are already attached to Krishna in spontaneous love. And those who are not attached to Krishna in such a love, for them Krishna prescribes some regulative principles. In fact, Rupa Goswami, the first principle he says is Ado Guru Padashray. And then comes Sadharma Pritcha. That comes later. First up is Ado Guru Padashray. One should accept the lotus feet of the spiritual master and surrender to him. And then all the regulative principles can be understood. How one should live one's life. Krishna says, Abhyasa Yogena. There are many regulative principles that are prescribed in the scriptures, which if followed will help one to gradually revive that love for Krishna. And once you follow those regulative principles very carefully, like for a devotee, they said devotee should wake up in the morning, go to go and have a bath, enter the deity room, bathe the deity, dress the deity, cook bhoga for the Lord, and offer the bhoga, offer namaskar, obeisances, chant the holy names. So in this way, a devotee can do many, many things under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. Why is a bona fide spiritual master? Because many people do these things at home, as a ritual. But if one gets the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, then one will understand actually how all these rituals are not just empty rituals, but they are aimed at achieving the ultimate goal, which is Krishna Prem. So, in the beginning stage, the neophyte devotee also dresses the deity. And the very advanced devotee also dresses the deity, but it is not the same. Because the advanced devotee can see Krishna directly when he is dressing or when he is entering service to deity. The action is the same, but consciousness is different. Consciousness becomes very elevated as one progresses. So, one needs the guidance of a spiritual master. So one can do all these things. And if one is not able to do all these things following the strict regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga, then Krishna says, still one can draw oneself towards Krishna by working for Krishna. Every endeavor in this world requires some capital, labor, organization. You all know 5 M's, you know. Man, material, machine. Okay, there are 5 M's in management. So every endeavor in this world requires these things. So preaching about Krishna, propagating Krishna consciousness also requires these things. So if one cannot directly engage in Krishna service by taking shelter of a bona fide guru, then at least one should become sympathetic towards the propagation of Krishna consciousness. One should become sympathetic towards those who are preaching. and she tried to help them in expanding Krishna consciousness. That can be done in various ways. One can help in constructing a beautiful temple for Krishna, or one can give a portion of one's earning, or one can give some labor, or one can do many things like that. If one is not very wealthy, one is not earning a lot, then Prabhupada gives so many other methods by which one can serve Krishna. Like one can make in a garden and have some flowers, and one can send flowers for Krishna's service. Or one can have tulasi at home, and one can water tulasi. See how wonderfully these things work. Like, you know, in my sister lives in South India. I used to push her very much to take devotion service, but she wasn't taking. So some devotee went and told her, just keep tulasi at your house and water tulasi every day. So this is the first thing she was taught. And when she was watering tulasi for a month, then she got inspired to chant. Now she's chanting 2 or 4 rounds now. So worshipping tulasi, actually Tulasi Maharani is actually Krishna Bhakti Pradayani, as we call her. So she will inspire devotion service in our hearts if you water tulasi every day. So one can maintain tulasi like that. In this way, one can do even simple services. One can just clean the temple of the Lord. One cannot give anything. So there are various ways by which one can render service to Krishna, and gradually one can develop one's love. So these are all coming under the sadhana bhakti. In sadhana bhakti there are two steps, vaidhi and raganuga. The word vaidhi comes from vidhi. We have to follow many rules and regulations. How to enter the temple of the Lord, how to behave in front of the deities, how to behave with devotees. All those rules and regulations are given. So you follow all the vidhi. So in neophyte stage, if you follow these vidhis very carefully, then a stage will come when we can realize that Krishna is a person and the deity is actually a person. So one should follow these rules and regulations very carefully as given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Then one can come to the Raganuga stage. Raganuga stage is the stage when one comes to spontaneous love for Krishna. So this Ananya Bhakti that Krishna is speaking about here, Ananya Chetaha Satatam, this is a very advanced stage in which a devotee is unable to forget Krishna even for a moment. And a devotee cannot be separated from Krishna even for one moment. This is the stage of Ananya Bhakti. So such people become so absorbed in Krishna, in thinking of Krishna, speaking about Krishna, rendering services to Krishna, so they become Krishnaized completely. So their senses are completely pure. That is why the body of a pure devotee is called as spiritual. Why it is called spiritual? Just like iron rod, when you put in fire, it is completely like fire only. It has the same qualities as fire. Similarly, a pure devotee's body has the same qualities as a spiritual body, because it doesn't do anything material. So when one takes sannyas, one should be liberated actually to take sannyas. That means all one's senses are engaged in Krishna service completely. So this is Ananya Bhakti. So Ananya word is used by Krishna several times to show that a devotee does not get distracted to either jnana or karma or worship of demigods or anything else other than Krishna. In one place Prabhupada writes, Krishna's devotee doesn't even, like Raghunath Das Goswami said, that a devotee does not even get distracted by the other forms like Vishnu or Narasimha or other avatars. Although we worship them, we can worship all the other forms, but a devotee knows the ultimate object of my love and worship is Radha and Krishna. A devotee knows that. That also means Ananya. The platform of Ananya Bhakti, a devotee experiences the 8 symptoms of ecstasy. A devotee, like he cries tears, all the hairs on his body stand on end, body changes colors, the body quivers, and hair stand on end. Yeah. So all these symptoms, even 11th Kanda Bhagavata Master, they mentioned how there is perspiration, change of body color, all those things take place in the body of the devotee. So such exalted devotees, they cherish the thought of Krishna within their heart so much that they exude Krishna from their body, from their speech, from their very behavior. Like we can see, there are many, many pastimes of various devotees. I will just speak one or two, which immediately comes to my mind. Recently, because we were talking about Ram Katha, we are hearing about Ramayana, the great King Kulashekhar, he was a great devotee of Ram. So he was also Ananya Bhakta. So he had such love for Ram, it is said, every day when he would hear about Ram in the court, he would be feeling great ecstasy. There have been many saintly people in the past who were great Rama Bhaktas and Krishna Bhaktas. And when we hear their lives, then we also get utsah. It is very important for us to hear the lives of great saintly people, because our senses are always crazy. They want to go towards sense gratification. They always imagine that there is some pleasure in the senses. So if you want to elevate ourselves, then we have to hear how the great devotees have been always absorbed in the ocean of ecstasy. By hearing them, we will at least start considering, maybe I will try that also. We will start considering that let me also do spiritual life seriously. So we should hear the lives of great Mahabhagavad devotees. So Kulashekhara is one such devotee. So it is said when he would be hearing the Ramkatha and the court, he would be absorbed in Ramkatha so much that he will completely forget all the things of the world. This is what happens when you Krishnaize the senses. Like I was telling about the impure senses and the pure senses. When the impure senses are engaged in Krishna service, gradually they become so pure that a devotee starts ignoring all the other materialistic things of the world. He is able to perceive Krishna's presence very prominently. Similarly, Kulashekhara was feeling the presence of Lord Ram, and he could perceive the pastimes literally taking place in front of his eyes. That is why great devotees, when they hear pastimes or speak pastimes, they can see that these pastimes are being enacted at every moment, either in this universe or in another universe or some other universe. It is always being enacted, every pastime of Krishna or Ram. So they can actually enter into these pastimes when they hear these pastimes. And because having entered into pastimes, they themselves become a role in that, in those pastimes. And that is the stage of Ananya Bhakti. So Kulashekhara was hearing like this when he heard one of the days that Lord Rama was sent on exile to forest. When he heard that, he jumped up from his seat and ran into the forest and shouted, "Hey Ram, please take me with you. I will also come with you to serve you," like Lakshman was serving. So the ministers, they became very worried, and they all had a meeting, and they again told him, "Please come back, Ram has returned." Ram has returned back safely, don't worry. Then he came back and sat in his seat. So another day, again, when Kulashekhara was hearing Ram Katha in full absorption, the reader was telling that Ravana is waging a war against Ram. Hearing this, again he jumped from his seat and told all his ministers, "Come on, all of you ministers, get all our army, let us go for a fight against Ravan. Come, let us assist Lord Ram and have a fight with him. And let us kill Ravana." He actually literally went up and all the army followed him. They didn't know where to go. They just followed him, and he was going ahead and they were all following him. The ministers went and brought him back saying, "Ravana is already killed, don't worry." Then they brought him back. In the same way, another day all the ministers had a meeting, emergency meeting. They thought something has to be done. Otherwise our king is always mad for Ram. So all the ministers decided that henceforth we will not speak any pastime of Lord Ram to some Karanyaras, which is in a mood of separation, because our king becomes deeply affected by that. So he told the Pandit, "Pandit, every day you speak only those pastimes which are pleasurable pastimes of Ram. You should always talk about union, never about separation." And the Pandit agreed. So many days passed by peacefully. But one day Pandit got fever. He couldn't come. So he sent a substitute. And the substitute, he didn't know anything. He just opened Ramayana. And as soon as he opened, he took a section. And he said, "Ravana came in disguise as a sadhu and he kidnapped Sita," he said. Hearing this, Kulashekhara jumped up from his seat and shouted. He ran towards the ocean. "Rascal Ravan," he shouted, "I'm going to kill you. I'll cross over the ocean. I'll come to Sri Lanka and I'll kill you now." He shouted like that, all army followed him. Everyone took their sword and armor, everything. Horses and elephants and everyone followed him. They were actually ready to cross the ocean. So he was fully determined. So ministers didn't know what to say now, how to protect him. So when he was absorbed in crossing the ocean, thinking of crossing the ocean, at that time he just found in the sand, a little distance ahead, some dazzling gold. So he bowed down and removed the sand and he took it in his hands. It was the deity of Sita and Ram. And the deity spoke to him. The Lord told him, "My dear Kulashekar, what to speak of crossing this ocean? I will cross this ocean of material existence and take you back to my abode." Lord told them. So in this way, the Lord personally spoke to Kulashekar, and Kulashekar took those deities back home and he installed them and worshipped them in his temple. So in this way we find the great Ananya devotees, those who are having unflinching faith in the Lord, they become so absorbed in that. Like we hear in Chaitanya Charitamrita how when Lord Chaitanya was travelling from one place to another place, he came to a village where he met a Brahman who was supposed to cook for Mahaprabhu, and it became beyond 1 o'clock and he hadn't cooked anything, nor was he having any plan to cook. So then he told Mahaprabhu, asked him, "What is the problem? Why are you appearing to be in sorrow?" And then he said that, you know, "I came to know that Mother Sita was kidnapped by this Ravan. And how can someone touch Mother Sita? This is so painful to my heart." Then Mahaprabhu, he went down south and he got one Kurma Puran from where he cited to the Brahman. He showed him, "Just see, the Sita which was stolen by Ravana was not the actual Sita, it was Maya Sita. As soon as Mother Sita crossed the Lakshman Rekha, the Sita who came out is not the same Sita, because the Mother Sita entered into fire and who came out is Maya Sita. Later on, that is why Lord Ramachandra asked her to do Agni Pravesh again so that he can get the actual Sita back." So after he said this, then the Brahman became very pacified and then he started cooking very happily. So in this Ananya stage, one is constantly absorbed in the mood of Krishna's devotees. One time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the garden and was plucking some flowers. At once he went into a trance and he thought of himself to be a gopi. And when he saw the other devotees were plucking flowers, everyone appeared to him like a gopi. All the gopis were plucking flowers. And he started calling all the gopis' names when Mahaprabhu saw that. So in this way, as a devotee progresses in spiritual life and when he advances and he goes beyond the nishtha stage, he comes to a stage when his mind helplessly runs towards Krishna. Like Kunti Maharani prayed, you know. She said, "Tvayi me ananya vishaya matir madhupate sat ratim buddhvahata adha gangeva ugham budanvati." She said, "Just like the Ganges flows towards the ocean, my dear Krishna, let my mind always flow towards you." And that happens to pure devotees automatically, very naturally. Just like for a conditioned soul, the mind runs towards sense gratification. Like that for a pure devotee, the mind runs towards Krishna. Like for a conditioned soul, for any man in this world, wherever he turns around, everything appears to be lusty. For lusty man, anything he looks, it looks like woman for him. Looks like opposite sex. Wherever opportunity is available, he wants to exploit and enjoy. Similarly, if a man is a businessman, wherever he turns around, what does he see? Money, money, money. Everything is his money. When he sees a bungalow, he thinks, how much will be the cost? Maybe 15 lakhs. He sees in terms of money only. Oh, the bus is coming, Swaraj Mazda, maybe 10 lakhs. So, he doesn't see the bus, he doesn't see the building, he doesn't see any vehicle. Anything he sees in terms of money, money, money only. So, he sees money everywhere. Similarly, a pure devotee sees Krishna everywhere. Yo mam pashyati sarvatra sarvam chamayu pashyati tasyaham na pranashyam tatamena pranashyati. And Krishna says, yo mam pashyati sarvatra. My devotee sees me everywhere. So what is the meaning of a devotee seeing Krishna everywhere? That means he cannot see anything separate from Krishna. He has to see everything in relation with Krishna only. He cannot see anything separate from Krishna. But Prabhupada also, when he was going one time in a bus, immediately pointed to devotees, just see that truck, you like that truck, you like that bus. Prabhupada was always thinking. So devotees would wonder, why Prabhupada is talking about some bus or truck? And then Prabhupada would later on tell them, we would like to have a Sankirtan bus party. That bus should go all over America and distribute books all over America and drive out Maya from America. So Prabhupada was very interested. In 1967, when our ISKCON was in its early stages, one day Prabhupada was completely absorbed in ecstasy. He called all the devotees and told them, let us have a first bus distribution Sankirtan party. Get a bus immediately, Prabhupada told them. And devotees wanted where to go and get a bus. Where from to get a bus. So they went to some people and somebody came and gave them some broken down bus. Not a broken down bus, very old bus, which had no seats. There was only one seat for the driver. And whole bus was empty. And the glasses were broken. And bus was having so many dents. But still, because Prabhupada wanted, devotees thought, we have to fulfill Prabhupada's desire. So they immediately brought the bus. And they told Prabhupada, bus is ready, please come. And Prabhupada climbed up the bus. And then devotees told the other devotees, hey, go and get a chair for Prabhupada. And somebody ran inside and got a chair. And they put it in the center of the bus. And they made Prabhupada sit. And when the bus started moving, four devotees were catching four legs. Because otherwise the chair would topple. And Prabhupada heard the sound. Bus was making drr, drr, drr sound. It was like 10 buses moving at the same time. But some of us was moving. It went all around Boston. Full Boston, Prabhupada went for a ride in the bus. And then they came back to the same spot. And Prabhupada got down. And Prabhupada said, yes, we have to have book distribution Sankirtan party, certainly. But certainly not in a bus like this. This is very embarrassing. But then devotees understood the mood of Prabhupada, that Prabhupada wants us to go out and distribute his books, go everywhere and distribute his books. Later on they got the Greyhound buses, long, big buses which were having such a beautiful area for the deities. And there was a room, something like a house. There was a kitchen to cook. There was a place to keep the books. Devotees had enough place to rest for keeping. It was just like a house, something like this where we are sitting now. They had such huge buses going all over America. So the Gadadhara Damodara Sankirtan party was started later. So in this way, the devotee is always absorbed in making plans for the Lord. How I can propagate Krishna consciousness more and more? He sees Krishna everywhere and in everything. It's not that a sadhu is afraid of money. One time, somebody had come and given a lot of money to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was counting the money. In between, disciples came and told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, mayor has come to see you. And Prabhupada said, yes, get him in. He was counting the money. And mayor came and Prabhupada wished him Hare Krishna. He told him on his side. And then, yes, go ahead, tell me, he said. Mayor started speaking and Prabhupada continued to count the money. So mayor was shocked, what is going on? So he said, the sadhu is counting money. So you cannot generally see a sadhu counting money, but Prabhupada was such a sadhu that he would count a lot of money and engage it all in Krishna's service. He went with 40 rupees abroad. But when Prabhupada was in the planet, our movement had more than 40 crores property worldwide in the form of temples and properties and assets. So Prabhupada used all of it in Krishna's service. And Prabhupada would say it also when he would talk to his disciples. One time in Detroit, Prabhupada's disciples were working very hard to get a place, but they couldn't get one. But at last, they saw one place which the devotees liked very much. So Prabhupada went with Ford and another Mataji is Lavangalitika Mataji? Lekashwanti Mataji. Lekashwanti. Lekashwanti Mataji, both of them. So Prabhupada took both of them and many other devotees also. And Prabhupada went to that fisher's mansion. That is a fisher's mansion. Huge mansion. And it is said that the mansion was such a beautiful palace building. Everything was in marble. All the wash basins and all had gold-plated taps, gold-plated showers and everything. The house was very posh. And when Prabhupada went ahead, Prabhupada already started making plan. Prabhupada was telling, this can be the temple hall, you know, that room can be kitchen, you know, this can be for the devotees to stay. And devotees are all looking at one another, no? Because they knew you can't purchase it because it was $25 million. So nobody told the money to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was just seeing it. And then Prabhupada went ahead. And then when they opened the behind part, there was a beautiful lake. It looked so attractive. And Prabhupada was really impressed. And then the owner of the bungalow came to meet Prabhupada. And the devotees also told Prabhupada that this is $25 million Prabhupada was selling. So when owner came, Prabhupada told them, this bungalow, it is really meant for a king. It's such a beautiful bungalow, he said. And the owner was very happy, smiling and very happy. But then Prabhupada said, but we are beggars, Prabhupada said. We don't have any money. And Prabhupada at once started bargaining. He immediately asked him, why don't you give us free? He will give it to Krishna service. Directly asked him. So nobody would have the courage to speak like that. That person was shocked. And then Prabhupada started bargaining from $1 million, $2 million, like that. And then, at last, that fellow, as if he was mesmerized, he settled down with $3 million. And at once Prabhupada turned to both of them, like Krishna Mataji, Krishna Mataji and Ford, and told both of them, immediately take out the money and pay him and send him off. And there were some of his things kept there, and Prabhupada said, this you can take later, but now we'll buy it immediately. And they immediately purchased the property. And the owner took the money and he went away. And Prabhupada and his disciples, they all were very happy. And Prabhupada was coming out of the bungalow. And he stopped for a while. And he turned towards all the disciples and told them, so I entered into this building with empty hands. And I took some money from both of them and paid him off. Now I am coming out of the bungalow with empty hands. This is a sadhu. So a Krishna's devotee is like this. Krishna's devotee means he just takes all the wealth of this world and uses in Krishna's service. He doesn't take anything for himself. So Prabhupada was like that. His hands were very clean. Later on, after 1 week, that fellow started crying and weeping. He said, I committed a big mistake. The sadhu came and, you know, he bewildered my mind. You know, now I want it back. But devotees, when they came to know, they immediately put all these things in a truck. And they very safely took him to his place and gave him back and told him, thank you very much. You don't have to come and carry. We will come and give you. So, just imagine, $25,000 property could get it in $25 million property in $3 million per part. Got it. And it is a very famous temple now in Detroit. So in this way, pure devotee of the Lord has always got plans in his mind. He will use everything in Krishna service. Some sentences from purport are very important for us to say. So it's gentle for them. Of course, one more point in the shloka. Tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yukta si yoginaha. Krishna is the word sulabha. Sulabha means very easy. Also, the word asu is used in the scripture. Somebody can tell some verses on asu. Many verses are there. Asu. Ashu means quickly. Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanamcha Yadahaitakam Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha. If one engages in the Bhakti of Vasudevi, what happens? Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanamcha Yadahaitakam. Quickly one gets Vairagya and Jnana, it is said. So any other Ashu, anybody can say? Many was. Many was out there. Not only Ashu, you can also tell verses where it says that very quickly one achieves the devotion, quickly. Nachirat, like that Bhavami Nachirat Partha, Maya Vishnu, what is it was? Etu sarvani karmani, mayi sanyasya matparaha, ananye naiva yogena, mam jayanta upasate, teshamaham samudharta, mrityu samsara sagara, Bhavami Nachirat Partha. Nachirat means not very late, quickly. Opposite of not very late means very quickly. Bhavami Nachirat Partha Mayaveshita Chetasam. Whereas Nachirat is this. Achirena, isn't it? Achirena Adigachati, what is it verse? You know this? There are many verses. Achirena means very quickly. not chirat, means not very late. Ashu, like he said. Jitopya sitaistulokyam. That also the word ashu comes. Vikriditam vajavadu viridam cha vishnu shraddhan vipah anushrunayat anuvarnayet atavarnayet ya bhaktyam param bhagavati pratilabhya kamam. Then you know the word ashu comes. Bhaktyam param bhagavati pratilabhya kamam hridrogam ashu apahinoti achirena dirha. Both are there, ashu also achirena also. Hridrogam means, what is hridrogam? Disease of the heart, that is lust. Hridrogam ashu, quickly, apahinoti means destroy. Achirena, achirena means very quickly, again, two times it is said. Dhiraha, and one becomes a dhira. When one hears the playful pastimes of Krishna, one hears it with great Shraddhanvita, Anushruniyat, one hears it. Anu means in parampara. So when one hears Krishna's pastimes in parampara with great transcendental faith and describes it for the benefit of others, then very quickly one achieves Krishna prema. Like that. So tasyaham salava partha. One can very easily achieve Krishna's devotion. All you need is a great eagerness. It is said there was a very famous disciple of Shankara. His name is Padmapada. Why he became Padmapada? Because once when he had to return to his guru in time, very swiftly, it is said that he even forgot that there is a river. He came so fast. But when he crossed the river, every step he kept, there was one lotus. And he kept his feet in those lotuses and he reached his guru. So that's why it is said he was given the name Padmapada. So this Padmapada once, although he was in the Advaita clan, still he was a great devotee of Lord Narasimhadev. So once he went to the forest and he was intensely worshipping Lord Narasimhadev. And he was greatly eager to see him. But then he was not getting his darshan. At the time, a hunter came there. And he saw the hunter. A hunter came and asked him, "Tell me, whom are you searching in the forest? I can help you out." But then he thought, what can this hunter understand? And that is, if I tell him about Narasimhadev, he will mistake it. Better not tell him. He said, "No, no, no, I don't want anything from you." But the hunter insisted, "No, no, I want to serve you." In fact, hunter said, "Whatever you want, I will give you within today evening. If I don't give you within today evening, then I will hang myself. See, I have a rope with me in my hands." He had a noose with him. And he said, "Any animal in the forest you want, I can get it for you immediately. And if you don't get it, I will use the same noose to hang myself." He said, he was so confident. And Padmapada thought, "No, you have so much faith. Okay, let me tell him." He said, "I am searching for a special kind of animal in the forest. He has got a head like a big lion, but his body is like a human being." And then he wondered, "Oh, really? Is there an animal like that?" And Padmapada said, "Yes, that is. If you can get that person, I'll be the most happier." Then hunter went out in search of him. And all day he searched in the forest very intensely, thinking of the form in his mind. So intensely, morning to evening, at twilight, when the sun was about to set, when he could not meet Lord Narasimhadev, then he put that noose in a tree and was about to hang himself. At that time, Lord Narasimhadev at once appeared in front of him. Immediately. So when he saw Lord Narasimhadev at a distance, instead of offering him obeisances, he took his rope and ran towards him and put the noose around his neck. "You are the one I was searching today all day." And he dragged him and he brought him to Padmapada. And Padmapada saw him, he started shivering, trembling, and fell on the ground unconscious, seeing him. Actually, he didn't see Narasimhadev. Then he couldn't say, where is he asked. Then Lord Narasimhadev spoke. He said, "For those who don't have complete faith in me, I don't reveal myself," he said. "But this hunter whom you sent, he had such a utsa, such an intensity to see me, I appeared for him." He said, "In this way, Lord appears for even a hunter. What is it? Is it Sulabha Partha?" As Krishna says, "Striya Vaishya Sata Shudra Stepyanti Paramkatem." Women, generally they stay at home, they cook food, they take care of children. They may not be so much interested in philosophical analysis studying Vedanta Sutra. They may not be interested. Krishna says, no, if a woman performs devotion service to me, she will achieve me better than a Vedantist. A Vedantist will be going around in the cycle of birth and death. But a woman who becomes my devotee, like Kunti Maharani, when she says, she is saying, Katam Pashyama Hitriya. What is it was? Tata Paramahansana Munina Mamalatmana Bhakti Yoga Vidhanatam Katam Pashyama Hitriya. She says, my dear Lord, I am after all a woman. I cannot understand you. You are actually understood by those who are Paramahansas and Munina Amalatmana, those who are completely pure hearted rishis. The purpose is, this is out of her humility, she is saying like this. Because she has already realized Krishna, she is able to speak like this. No one who has realized Krishna will say, now ultimately after so much struggle I have achieved Krishna. Nobody will say that. They will always say, I am very fallen, I have not achieved Krishna. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always said, I have no love for Krishna like that. So, whether one be a woman or one be a person who is always counting money, Vaishya, who is money minded always, making plans for increasing his money tomorrow, such a person, and Shudra, who never goes to Gurukul, who is never interested in any spiritual subject matters, whose ultimate goal of life is to fill up his belly and enjoy his senses. This is the Shudra. Even such a person can understand Krishna. So that's why Tasyaham Sulabha Partha, by the process of devotion service. And this process is so sulabha, so easy, that one doesn't need any qualification and any ingredients also. Like I was telling examples of, you know, baking of the deity and baking deity. One says, one doesn't even have that much. What can one do? So with one first time from Bhakti Samsindhu, I would like to conclude this verse. And there was one great Brahman in a village called as Pratishthanapur. So this Brahman was a devotee of the Lord. One day he attended a lecture, like all of you are attending. He was attending a lecture. And in the lecture he heard, the Lord is such a bhavagrahi. Bhavagrahi Janardana, you know. Such a bhavagrahi that even if you don't have anything to offer, still in the mind also if you offer something to him, he will be very satisfied. All that he sees is only devotion, nothing else. One can offer anything to Lord in the mind and Lord will be happy and satisfied with that if you don't have anything. And the Brahman went back home, he thought, I have only one pair of clothes with me, the two tattered clothes, and I have nothing at home to offer. But then this gives me confidence. So let me offer everything to Lord in the mind. Thinking like that, he went to the banks of holy rivers, Ganges. Holy river Ganges, and he sat in meditation and controlling his mind and senses, absorbing himself in the Lord gradually. He got into deeper and deeper levels of consciousness and started meditating on the form of Krishna. So first, he thought in his mind that he got a beautiful deity of Krishna. Then he went to all the holy rivers in the mind, and he like Ganga, Godavari, and all other rivers, and he brought, and he also had golden and silver vessels in which he got all the waters of the holy rivers, sacred rivers, and he bathed the Lord with all of them. And he got all kinds of flowers, and he decorated the Lord's body with beautiful flowers, beautiful dresses, and beautiful golden and silver ornaments and all nine types of pearls. He decorated the body of the Lord like that. And he also made a beautiful temple for the Lord in the mind. And he situated the deities there. And he cooked a nice bhoga. 56 types of bhoga. And he offered all of them to the Lord in great love. He offered obeisances, he chanted, he danced. He circumambulated the temple. So in this way he became very satisfied. So this became his regular practice. Every day he would do this in the mind. And he would go on doing it, yeah, day after day. So he was doing like this one day, this Brahmin wanted to cook sweet rice for the Lord. So he cooked sweet rice, and the sweet rice has to be served cold. Only then it is very delicious. So he kept it for cooling. But after a long time he wanted to check whether it is cooled or not. So when he put his finger in the sweet rice, it was so burning hot that he took out his finger and started that very, very painful. And he looked at his finger, he came out of his meditation and he found that his finger was actually burnt. Although this took place in trance. In the meantime, Lord Narayan in the Vaikuntha, he was saying all these things. Because he was taking all his service and enjoying. So he laughed. He smiled very happily. Seeing the Lakshmi, he asked, what happened? Lord, where is smiling? The Lord didn't tell her anything. She first told, send his messenger, Vishnudas, go and bring that Brahman to me. I want to meet him immediately. Then the Brahman was brought in front of Lord and Lakshmi. Then Lord told Lakshmi, see this Brahman, how he served me. So in this way, he got the darshan of Goddess of Fortune and his friend, along with Lord Narayan, simply by rendering service in the mind like that. So devotional service is so great. Tasya aham shalabha partha. Nitya yukta sayogana. Nitya yukta, he was engaging every day, nitya yukta. Nitya yukta sayogana. If one engages in the service of the Lord every day sincerely, a time will come when one can meet the Lord face to face directly. And Prabhupada writes that in many places. One should be very confident about this. See, the yogis and jnanis, they have to perform severe meditation to control their mind and senses, and by their effort, they have to achieve transcendence. Whereas for a Krishna's devotee, that is not the case. Krishna's devotee is like a child who gets the care and protection of the parent. So Krishna comes and lifts, as he says, Tesham aham samudharta. I will come and deliver my devotee. Not that my devotee will by his endeavor come to me. No. My devotee will worship me with great love and devotion, endeavor to serve me in the best possible way. But I will come and deliver them. Krishna says that. This is the beauty of devotion service. So, today we are discussing how from the beginning stage of Vaidhi Bhakti, then Raganuga Bhakti, then Bhava and Prema Bhakti, one can gradually come to the stage of Ananya Bhakti. But for achieving that stage, right now in our stage we have to be very strictly regulated in all our activities of chanting Hare Krishna every day, regularly. And we have to read Prabhupada's books, and we have to offer all the services that Krishna has prescribed, Dasya has prescribed for us in our lives. So to the degree to which we very sincerely do it with great shraddha, with great faith, it's called as Ashabandha. Prabhu Swami says Ashabandha. Ashabandha means one has a complete faith that sooner or later I will achieve pure love for Krishna. Prabhupada writes in 1.4, you keep on doing devotional service, one day you will turn into a pure devotee. And you will understand, yes, now at that time you will be able to perceive Krishna very clearly. So when will that come? So don't try to be impatient, but go on practicing devotional service. And one will see Krishna face to face, as this Brahmana Pratishthanapur could see Krishna simply by rendering service in his mind. That doesn't mean that now onwards we should do chanting in the mind, reading in the mind, everything in the mind only. Even Vasudev, when he was in the jail, he gave thousands of cows in charity in the mind. Do you know that? He gave so many cows in charity in the mind. But why he gave in the mind? Because he was in the jail, he couldn't give. But as soon as he came out and he became, he assumed his position, then he gave actual cows. He started giving thousands of cows in charity during one Krishna's birthday. When Krishna had come back from Vrindavan to meet Vasudev and Devaki, that time Vasudev gave a lot of cows in charity actually, because already he had a desire to give. Similarly, one has intense desire to serve Krishna, but one is running short of the ingredients. Then one can serve in the mind. But when one has ingredients, one should serve Krishna willingly, voluntarily, with all ingredients happily, according to one's available opulences. Hare Krishna. Any questions?
Ananya
Chetsa
is always engaged in Krishna. So why
this
Nitya Chetsa three times
is
regularly
supposed
to emphasize?
Three times. Krishna is saying, in order to emphasize this point, it is not occasional. Not that you open the puja room and ring the bell in the morning, do some puja, do some mantra chanting in the morning, and then you close the room. And the daytime you read all kinds of magazines. Especially in South I have seen many people like that. They have many magazines. Anandavagadam, Kumudam, all magazines. So morning they will be doing puja. Morning he will be a Brahman. Very nice Brahman. Doing nice puja. They will be wearing this dhoti and putting towel around their body. All over their body. Either tilak or, you know, this, they put vibhuti with basma, all that. Morning they will look like, so we call them as Jnana Padam, we call them. Jnana Padam means They are called as a fruit, a person who is like a ripened fruit. He is like such a devotee. He looks like, you know, you feel like worshipping him. And then after the morning puja is over, you close the door. That's all. Business is finished. Then you wear pant shirt, all day you read this magazine, that magazine, evening you come back and watch the television, watch the movie. Sometimes the father also plays cricket with the son. Son is throwing ball and father is playing cricket. You can see them. So they are completely into worldly activities afterwards. Not only that, they indulge in all kinds of sinful activities also. So this worshipping in the morning is simply a ritual for them. So they don't have a kind of relationship with Krishna like what Prabhupada taught us in ISKCON. For us, Krishna assumes so much portion of our life. Morning Krishna, afternoon Krishna, evening Krishna. Krishna is so much important for us all the time. So we understand that we are going to die one day, and after that we have to go back to Krishna. And now we have to mold our life in such a way that we will be able to remember Krishna always. Our life is like that. If you see the life of ISKCON devotee, it's very special. Actually, many people in the world, what they know about ISKCON is a very shady outside picture. They actually don't know what is ISKCON. If they only knew what ISKCON is and what Prabhupada's books are and what is his philosophy, people will fall fainted. People don't know exactly. That is why it is the duty of every devotee, practicing devotee, to take this consciousness to other people. There cannot be a better life than the life of ISKCON devotee. Our life is so wonderful. Prabhupada has given. Morning you wake up with Mangala Arati. You wake up the deities, you chant in front of the deities. And Mangala Arati and Narasingha Arati and Tulasi Arati is so absorbing that when you begin to chant, your mind can get nicely focused on chanting. Then you do 16 rounds of chanting. Have you seen any organization prescribing 2 hours of chanting the Lord's name? See, many organizations are saying different things, but what Prabhupada has taught us is literally given in the scriptures. Lord says, Satatam Kirtayan Tomam. Kirtan is prescribed in the scripture. So we chant the Lord's names, we take darshan. And in this way, devotee engages in. So when we go out, even when you go to office, even when you go to college, even when you go here, there, your mind is constantly vigilant. How to make people into devotees? When you go out in the street, you see people are in 3 modes running here and there, all the time, chasing after the mirage of sense gratification. Anything you see, you relate to the scriptures, because you have spectacles of Shastra. Through that you see. And you are thinking, when will I go back in the evening? Let me join the program in the evening. And there are many devotees who have every evening packed. Practically every evening they have engagement. Morning and evening. And they are also daily phoning up to different devotees. So in this way, devotee's life is wonderful. Such a life is very, very rare. So there cannot be, we cannot estimate the good fortune of a devotee's life. So we have to give this consciousness to other people. So Krishna says, Satatam Kirtayan Toma. Now we are not doing so much Satatam, but we are so happy. Just imagine when we will come to the stage, when we will be allowed to be in the vicinity of Krishna 24 hours. Like this, who's in Nargamala Chakra is playing, you know. Lalita Visakayadi Yatasaki Vrinda Agnaya Kori Voseva Charanaravinda. So he's praying, this is actually a last time he prayer, where he's saying, my dear Lord, when will the time come when I will stand by the side of Lalita and Vishaka, who are the immediate servants of Radharani, Chintradharani, and I will be assisting them by giving them chama, giving them peacock feather, giving them all the items to offer to Krishna. So can you imagine how much bliss the soul will be enjoying in the company of Krishna and his devotees in the spiritual world? That is actually a 24 hours business. So a few hours business is so happy, it makes us so happy. 24 hours, here actually we are not allowed to engage in 24 hours business in Krishna service, because in our stage our mind and senses pull us in different directions. There are millions of sense objects to drag a person down in consciousness. And besides that, even if you try to go up, still the facilities in the material world are not good enough to. So Prabhupada said, you know, spiritual life in material world, that is incompatible, Prabhupada said. So spiritual life in material world is certainly very incompatible, very difficult. But when we return to spiritual world, then 24 hours we will be given unlimited things to serve Krishna. Always. So we have to become eager for such a life. One should be very, very eager, wherever one is. So we should be always discussing about Krishna. Only such people can become more and more committed. If one wants to come to this 24 hours business of Krishna, then one has to always talk about Krishna, think of Krishna, speak about Krishna. Like when we used to go to a laboratory when we were in IIT, you know, many times devotees used to work in the same lab. So most often the lab would get over, but you have to spend time there, 2 hours. The devotees would always come and talk, what Jayanthu said in the class. Such a nice point he made. This was so nice, that was so nice. And Maharaj was singing this tune. You'd literally be dancing in the lab. You'd sing those tunes. So when you talk of Krishna, think of Krishna, speak about Krishna, preach about Krishna, then we can develop attraction for Krishna. One time when Prabhupada was in Bombay, in high towers, so one big businessman came to meet Prabhupada. He told Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, actually I have come to meet you for a very specific purpose." "What do you want?" Prabhupada asked him. That man said, "See, I heard that you went from India only with some $7, that's about 40 rupees in those days. You just went with 40 rupees. But now I heard your ISKCON property is like 40 crores. You really are the best businessman in the entire world. I have never seen anybody like you," he said. "So, but I have come to ask you, what is the secret of your business? Can you tell me?" So, Prabhupada told him, "Oh, if you really glorify that I am a biggest businessman, why don't you join our business? You become like us. Join our business." "Oh, that I cannot do." So people are afraid. Nobody wants to do this 24 hours Krishna consciousness. Of course, anyone in any walk of life, depending on one's ability, should commit themselves to Krishna. That's why if you read the 12th chapter, Krishna gives different levels. The ultimate level is Mayyeva Mana Adatsva, is it? Mayyeva Mana, engage your mind completely in me. Mayi Buddhim Niveshaya. Nivashyasi Mayyeva Atavurdham Na Samshaya. If you are constantly absorbed in me like that, then you will be a pure devotee. Or you do devotional activities, at that time, you are in a liberated condition, even neophyte devotee. Even neophyte devotee is in a liberated condition when he is engaging in Krishna service. So if you want to be always liberated, what should you do?
Always engage.
Always engage, yeah. That is the formula. So always engage in Krishna service, then you can be always liberated. So then we don't have to fear about death. Hare Krishna.